These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
And after like 4 weeks, you're like, I feel it coming back a little. I have to get my 5 units.
I need my, well, here's the new update. I'm not going to that same bitch anymore because I want 20 units. So
Michelle.
I'm a member now of a club called Club Inject.
Michelle.
Not sponsored, but we would love a sponsorship. Club Inject.
Michelle, that's
Park
not
Central.
That's really not a club you need to be a part of.
Well, I'm in the club.
I feel like, how have you not learned your lesson from the past week of like, you know, something you didn't really need, but you were like, let's experiment and see what happens. And then you were like,
well,
oh, this thing I didn't need, my body's reacting.
GLP-1s are life-saving medication for diabetics.
People with diabetics.
And
or even obese,
if I was if I kept going on the trajectory I was going on.
Michelle.
I have lost weight. It's sad.
Because you're vomiting.
I know. I think, well, that's what I was going to say. I think GLP-1s are just Ipecac. And the girls who get it, get it.
The girls
Jason
who get
cut
it.
That. He's going to be like, what is that? I just got my new appointment. 10 next week on the 10th.
But here's the thing, Michelle. Like, you have no lines. Like,
look.
That's just, you still have movements.
I don't want it. Freeze
so
me.
So your goal, you're like, I want to be Nicole Kidman circa 2017. That's what
I
want to
be Nicole Kidman watching. I want to be Nicole Kidman in the AMC commercial. I want to be.
Yeah.
I want to be in another
world. You come
world
to this
completely.
Place for magic.
I come to this place
frozen.
For magic and to be frozen. Yeah, that's the magic. And that is
you'll
the
you'll be watching Frozen.
Yeah.
And be frozen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the first time.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, let it go. Up.
I just want you to.
I want to look like this.
Here's my thing. I just don't want you to be body dysmorphic. Like, honey, if you want the Spock brow, I support you. You can rock it. Like, you're gorgeous no matter what. Mm. I love that beautifully cold, frozen, you know, Nicole look. It's cunt. But. I want you to be aware that that's what you're doing. Not that like, oh, right now you're a wrinkly hag. Because right now the forehead, wrinkle-less, smooth.
No,
smooth
it's
is
not.
My brain.
Lauren, look at that. Usually when I have my Botox, I only have this one line. Now you can, I have like, that looks like the rings on like when you cut a tree.
That's movement. The lines, it's if the lines stay after, sweetheart, dearie, look. These are permanent. These come back after my Botox fades because I lift more. And I kind of stay there after Botox because I don't get it that often. If you can move, that just means your injector left you a little movement for expression to look more natural. But if you don't want the natural look, up it to 20 units. But just know you don't have lines there. You don't have brow lines. Guys, Dr. Melfi, can you get in the comments, please?
Wait, hold on. Am I showing as blurry to you?
No.
You're so blurry to me, and I don't know if it's
it fixes in post.
Okay, because you just look like, I don't know. I think it's because my internet, because it's like raining and stuff, and so my internet dropped like earlier today, and I was dropped by my internet.
I was dropped by my internet on the head as a child, which explains a lot. Okay, let's get into it. I have diarrhea.
I literally threw up so much yesterday. It was crazy.
Oh my gosh, intestinal distress. Bravo breakdowns.
I don't know. I thought I was done vomiting from the GLP-1 because like I haven't taken it since that one day. And it's been over a week. And so I was like, what's going on?
Here's the thing. Here's the other thing. I always knew this was disaster because you're one of the most nauseous people I've ever met.
That's not true.
It is true. And honestly, like, takes one to know one, babe.
No.
You're the one who got me on that Dramamine addiction.
I got you on that Dramamine
trip.
I know, not sponsored.
And that's like, help me with my nausea has,
It goes away so magical. We come here for magic.
We come to this place for magic. Speaking of magic, let's get into.
Speaking of eyebrows up to the heavens.
Up to here.
Up to the heavens. I've had it up to here with my GLP-1.
So we are a little behind in the valley. We'll see how many of you guys
care.
Watch these.
Care. I know. Yeah. But we're no one recap. Here is faking ethnicities. Just yeah. Just
good old fashioned hell marriages.
Just in, good old fashioned
Sun Valley
domestic problems. And Sun Valley, Idaho, wherever. Montana.
So they. So right now I think we're on episode 8. We'll be that came out last night, Snake in the Grass. We'll be recapping episodes 5 and 6, and then we'll catch up on 7 and 8 next week. And then the people have spoken. The people are saying Miami.
They're saying no kids.
They're saying no kids. They're saying we want the Roberto Cavalli dresses. We want
the Carnival cruise.
Yeah. The Adriana and Julia breakup.
The breakup heard round the world in certain subreddits.
And we want, let's see, what happened with Alexia and Todd?
Hold on, shit. Ruby's school's calling. I can't believe this.
Okay. Well, they'll never know.
Snip, snip. Snip, snip here. Snip, snip there. Snip, snip
there. And a couple of tra-la-las.
That's how. And the merry old land of the valley.
Okay. Wow. Guys, we rehearsed that.
Which one's the scarecrow, Lauren, with that head?
Oh, let's see. Oh, of the two of us.
I'm the lion.
I'm feeling very scarecrow lately. Brainless. A empty vessel. Friend of Dorothy. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into it. Okay. So, we're recapping the Valley episodes 5 and 6. So, we have Zach and Brittany. We're in the Santa Barbara B&B that Jesse rented. Brittany and Zach are eating, or they're like laying in bed with like the CVS onion dip that Zach was eating all night. That really takes me back to, binging at 19, well, baby.
It's a lot. Yeah, he lives like in a studio. Like there's weird things happening in his
There's
life.
Weird things happening, but it looks like Zach and Brittany are like coming to a better place in their friendship, which is this season kind of rocky. They're, you know, laughing and bonding. Jesse is, he says, even though he almost left the trip last night because he was so pissed at Michelle, he is being mature and rising above it for the group, and he decided not to leave his job and stay there and go to the next day on the call sheet.
Yeah.
Hero.
Hero so business.
And then Michael and Naya, or Michelle. Who's Michael?
Michelle is me.
They talk about he's not really rising above it because he has been chugging champagne all morning before they go on the wine mixing trip.
What? I don't remember. And, that. Oh my god, I'm trying to. Okay.
Yeah, it's we gotta.
We gotta. I'm trying
go
to remember.
Back
to the beginning.
And Michelle talks about how like Jesse was trying to upset her last night and he didn't upset her. So then that's why he got really pissed. It's their sick Liz and Dick games. So then Brittany and Zach laugh about how they're going to the wine tasting, but they both hate wine.
Right. That is funny. And
that is, yeah.
That
relatable.
Is humor.
That's humor. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's to humor. Me,
that's humor. Jax also, we learned, texted Brittany that he is bipolar. And Brittany's
right.
like,
we know.
I think this is good. I think this is a good step. And Zach is like, it's not good.
I know we're supposed to recapping, but I need to do an intervention on the rehab facility that is treating Jax.
Okay.
This and is a problem.
This is None not. This is not rehab.
Has anybody here been in treatment or seen the show in treatment?
Yeah, because I have a friend who checked into rehab yesterday.
Oh no, and, again,
and did not even text me when he got there. And now I'm like frantically calling, emailing, trying to see
Why?
If he got in.
Oh.
Because guess what? They don't get their phones, and they don't get to leave and come back and. Get stuff from their house or go
no,
to the park.
No, and they don't get to wear hats that are advertising for a bar.
They don't get to record videos that look
like hostage situations. Yeah. This is, yeah. The
none,
first
not,
thing
not
they
Attica.
Do when you go to a facility, like, okay, I'm not, full disclosure, I have not been in a rehab facility. Same. I've been in a mental health institution. Does, I don't know if that sounds right. But when I was there, there were people, there were addicts also being treated in the same place. They take away your phone. They take away your phone. Yeah, they take away underwire bras, shoelaces. You definitely don't, you can, there's a phone you can use that is shared, but you have designated times that you can even be on the phone, and you do not have access to texting.
It's not a cell phone.
No. And I mean, I feel like the amount of that Jax is texting is more than like you and I text when we first even take Adderall for it. Like, this is like the most insane, and none of it is helpful information. Like,
this is kind of my theory, and we'll get into this more. Well, I'll get into more of my theory in the episode, but right now that I just said this, I'm developing a new aspect of the theory. I think he's an outpatient. I don't think he's in.
You don't think? Oh.
I think he's an outpatient, and he's staying with
Alex Baskin.
Someone on the, Alex Baskin or someone on the Broadway.
You don't get to.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah,
to
it's
me.
Just, you don't get to do that in a facility. Like, no. Yeah, and like, I get it. He's on a show and stuff, but if anybody here is keeping score with Keeping Up with Kardashians, this did happen as well when Scott Disick had to go away to rehab. And guess what? They were not, he was not texting, he was not calling, like he was not around for filming anything because he was gone for 30 days. And they talked about like, oh, daddy is in a place that's helping him get better, which is healthy. And I think he's actually maybe still sober at this point, which is a good thing.
Good for him.
But
even Rachel, yeah, Raquel,
she was gone.
People like talked about, oh, her, you know, she's at a fake, you know, treatment place. Right. She's at a spa, but it's like, she was not answering texts. It kind of makes me think,
if you really want to get better, you're not doing things like this. And he's not
in a
place.
But it's more about the show. It's more about the show was not really taking care of him. I kind of think, well, we'll get into it more, but I think the show wanted him to keep texting so he can continue to be a presence. You know how in The Sopranos, Soprano Summer, after Nancy Marchand, who played Livia, Tony's mom, after she died, David Chase had to get creative, right? Because she's like the best. Character.
Oh my god.
Ever.
Oh, isn't she so sweet?
I love her.
She's so mean and racist.
Yeah. Another fucking toothpick.
Oh my god.
So he had to find ways to.
Because she was such a big presence on that show.
Yes. So he had to, like, Tony, like, met and fell in love with a girl who was a lot
like
her.
Right. Let's make sure his psychiatrist is always talking about, like, oh, things that Carmela does. Like, can we link the wife to that? I don't want to fuck my mom if that's what you're talking about.
Yes. So it's like we found ways to kind of bring her in even though she's gone. And I think that's why they're like, okay, well, if he's an outpatient, we can still have him texting. He can still kind of be a part of the show without actually being there is kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And then I'll get more into why I believe this later.
I think this would be a more interesting episode, honestly. If we just talked about the different theories instead of trying to recap really old episodes. Like,
well, it does get really good once we get to the wine tasting.
I just think we still throw in more of these kind of things because there's already so many. Yeah, because there's a lot of recaps.
So we're already so behind. Everybody who's wanted the recap on this has got
They've
it.
Already listened to Danny Pellegrino.
Yeah. So so we go to the wine tasting in the Sprinter bus and why is it, this has happened like on so many shows this past month where it's like they're on the Sprinter bus and someone gets drunk and pretends the pole is a stripper pole. Happened on Mormons. It's like in the zeitgeist.
I can't handle, you know what? I'm tired of the Sprinter bus. Bring back the limos.
Yeah.
Bring back the limos.
We've been watching Beverly Hills season two.
We were sat. Everybody sat. And we could do great things in the limo. We could
lighting the cigarette backwards, making the driver pull over on the highway to give her a match.
Yeah. Kyle saying, I need a lighter. Kyle's like, I don't smoke.
They're on the highway. They're like, pull over.
I didn't smoke a cigarette. I need a lighter.
Driving back from
yes,
Malibu.
Okay, and then also remember the limo that everyone on Roni had to sit in while they waited for Sonia. She wouldn't allow them in the house, and like the limo driver had to keep driving around the block because there was nowhere to park. This is entertainment.
Yes, but you know, Bravo, it's the Bravo budget right now because of all the lawsuits. That's why we're going to, you know, Milwaukee and Salt Lake City as their girls' trip.
Oh my God.
That's why, you know, I mean, the Valley, I think, is intentionally kind of like driving trips to Airbnbs. Like, that's kind of the vibe, you know, suburban. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, we're not getting the glamour we once did on the other franchises because of one Liam McSweeney.
And we know what Bethany happened
Frank
with that.
Frank, block us, Bethany.
On page six. On page six, not sponsored. We'd love to have a page. If news outlets could start sponsoring entertainment podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the thing in page six, though, about a week ago on Leah? That like Andy hired a team of housewives to destroy her.
Really?
Yeah. He got an army. The article was like, army of housewives.
Destroy her how?
Just like, no, just like, well, defend Andy, number one, defend mm-hmm. the network, and then also discredit her completely.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like that feels like a kind of like a...
No, that sounds like Andy.
Compared to him hiring Harvey Weinstein's PR team.
That is an interesting move. What's going on?
But I mean, Justin Baldoni, I think, hired them too. I think they're just the best PR team. You know? Okay, but it doesn't look good.
Blake Lively dropping part of the lawsuit? Ugh. She dropped the part about emotional distress.
Distress because you've got to prove it with your medical records and she didn't want to open her
right. And Taylor Swift isn't answering her calls right now. She's ghosting her.
What a circus. I want to sue them for emotional distress. Because it's you're making me relive like the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial, but instead like which was such the ugliness of humankind, except you're doing it in a boring way.
This is a weird thing because like I almost feel bad for Blake Lively. I do.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel bad for myself.
Why can't everything be the Gwyneth Paltrow's trial, the ski trial? I know. That was
everything
cinema.
Should be light enough to make a musical, right. A short-lived off-Broadway musical right. about it, like the Gwyneth Paltrow ski trial. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to at least – I think this is going to be unlistenable if we don't at least do some recapping.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. So the engine of the bus begins smoking and Luke, like a superhero, like jumps out, like opens in, and he's like pushes the driver out of the way and he's like,
I got that. I'm blue collar. I live in a place where there's no electricity or running water. I know exactly what to do in this situation.
Yes, like I'm a real man, not like that pussy Jesse.
And everyone in the bus is like, there's no air conditioning. Okay, that was one person. It was Brittany, but then it was getting hot on that bus.
But he does, Luke does come in with a plan. He's like, okay, we need to like drive this to a gas station.
We can go downhill and get help.
Airbnb from there.
Why didn't they have like Uber production in another? I don't get it. It's weird.
I don't know. I think they're always happy when Luke talks. It's been such a Luke and Kristen light season so far.
Yeah, and it's like
my big complaint with the Valley overall.
Luke is such a man of the people. He's like giving Bernie Sanders.
Totally.
Yeah.
Not very effective in terms of...
no one's voting for this man. But yes. He's got great ideas.
Right. Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. Well, man of the people. We all love him. I do think he would win a most popular male cast member vote.
Right.
But in terms of like working with the other cast members to get his agenda pushed, mm-hmm. he and Kristen, AOC, they're on an
They're not happening. Well, because they don't understand. They don't understand the working class like he does.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. They mm-hmm. don't care. They're the elite.
They're the bourgeoisie.
Nancy Pelosi.
If any Mark's fans in the room, they're the bourgeoisie.
The bourgeoisie. But wait, but Janet is Nancy Pelosi.
Oh my God. She's so Nancy Pelosi.
She whips that.
Who's Chuck Schumer?
With a strong fist. Jax.
Whoa, that's twisted.
Dark. Probably Jason.
No, he's definitely a Republican. Those two are Republicans.
Yeah.
Ted
he's,
Cruz.
He's like a Marjorie Taylor.
Jax is Ted Cruz,
and Britney's March.
MVP. Too many names.
Okay. So then, Also, I kind of like Jesse's physical, Buster Keaton-esque physical comedy there. He's picking up the mantle for Jax, where he's like pretending to hitchhike, and he's like, he's so drunk.
Yeah, they're like, what are you doing? And he's like, there's no air conditioning on this bus, and I don't trust this man who's white to fix the van.
And Michelle, actually, I really liked her shade here where she was like, I kind of hope he does get picked up by a hitchhiker and murdered in the woods and no one finds his body. I was
like, yes, this is, at least they kept the cameras up in the Sprinter van, and that's all I can say.
That's all that matters.
And that's all that matters.
Yes, Ireland trip on Orange County.
Oh my God. At least there was light.
Yes.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
So true. Okay, so then they go to the vineyard. Zach is doing a lot of like wine tasting comedy too, which I actually like because I relate to. Where he's spitting. Like, I hate wine. He's
I like, swallow.
He's like, yeah, he's just like holding his nose and chugging the wine, the wine tasting. And Danny is like, Danny is unfortunately, he's giving into his Nickelodeon instincts and he's trying to do some bits.
Well, he shows up late.
He shows
that's
up late.
That's a big part of the story.
Yeah, he shows up late because he was working at Warner Brothers.
And that's very, you know how long it is to drive literally anywhere in LA and the, like, out, like, it's so, like, Santa Barbara might as well be in, like, New York City from.
It's so far.
From, especially from, like, you know, the WB studios.
Oh, yeah.
With the Animaniacs there. Slowing shit
the
down.
The Animaniacs running this that place from the,
water tower.
Oh, I'm not talking good
today. One is a genius, the other's insane.
That's Vicky and the Brain.
I know, but that's part of Animaniacs.
Actually, okay, well, sidebar, we'll cut this. But I just have to tell you, I'm reading a book on the Oscars, and the Warner Brothers actually were four brothers. And one was he should have been on Bravo. He one time said to a girl, like at a party in the 1910s,
whoa,
like, are you on your period? Otherwise, come to my room later.
At least, are you sure it was like, are you on your moon?
He was very advanced for the times.
Trailblazer.
That he would only eat pussy.
Tom Sandoval.
Yeah. But one of them died, tragically. But they were the first ones to get on sound with the jazz singer. And that's their studio was about to go under until they did that. And then it saved them. Right as the brother died. So then that kind of bonded them in tragedy. Mm. And that's what the Animaniacs is based on. But they didn't have a sister. Okay. Got all that, Lauren and Jason? Okay. So then now we get to, Danny's gargling wine. He's doing, some Dan Schneider-esque physical comedy.
Oh my
God,
that's so dark.
So, well, I mean, he's not pulling out like his foot and, you know, slapping it against
his face.
He's
not the other
guy.
Oh my God. Did you ever listen? Because, you know, I only listen to books. Sorry, Jason, cut this. But we're talking about books and I canceled all of my meetings for this today. Janet McCurdy, I think is how you
said. Yes. I read.
I'm glad my mom died.
It's so good.
It's so good. But she talks about Dan Schneider, but she calls him like the producer.
The producer. Yeah, or the showrunner.
He's really fucked up.
Dude, she's a hero.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, and I remember watching
one of the best books on
one of the greatest. It's just a really, it's a fascinating. And I listened to the audiobook, but it's great because she reads it to you.
Yeah.
But it is like, it's interesting. And then I watched an interview with her, like when she was doing press for the book. And I don't even know who was the asshole. I was like, why would you name your book that? It was like so condescending. And she was like, because I wanted people to buy it.
Yes.
And I knew that title would be.
And it's like, that's a huge reason. She definitely had the writing to back it up. Whoever is her editor too, like kudos to them. The way that like she, because a lot of times books about abuse can be very, I feel like, irresponsible the way that they're written, especially like grooming or sexual
and the
abuse.
Mother-daughter relationship.
The mother-daughter, she captures it so perfectly, like showing what her thought process was, but also like you can see it's her adult self reflecting back, having learned. It's just the way she threads the needle.
The through line.
Fabulous writer.
So good, so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Danny is Dan Schneider.
Danny is, Danny Schneidering his wine, doing like a gargle, 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 spit take, spit it out, spit it back in my mouth, pour gack all
over myself.
I mean,
I'm surprised he didn't do like, oh,
yeah.
I was like, what are you, Michael Winslow over here? What are we doing?
And everyone's like not having it. No. And they'll get deeper into it later.
We'll get into it.
But for now, as is typical Valley editing, we cut to Isabella on the phone with Michelle. And Jesse's like, I want to talk to her.
Oh, my God.
And then crazy. Michelle hangs up.
They're still with a wine tasting, by the way.
Yeah. They just, like, have gone to a tree, like, 5 feet away.
But everyone can still, they're still within, like,
yes.
Everyone is still watching this happen and listening to this happen. And I guess it is less dark to witness that than watching Danny gargle wine.
Do his wine shenanigans.
His wine day. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Zach is mad because he's like, I like my wine bit more.
Yeah. I did a better wine bit. And
mine's more of a Farrelly Brothers wine bit, mm-hmm. You know.
Shallow Hal coated.
Shallow Hal coated. Something about Mary. I'm putting the wine in my hand something and then about spiking Mary. It up, pretending it's cum, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
And like Danny's is very like lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so then we get into, you know, the greatest romance of our time.
The greatest romance never told.
Jesse and Michelle. So they hang up with Isabella and...
No, Michelle Jesse's hangs like, up with Isabella once her dad wants to say hi to his child. The links these two go to be so cruel. Yeah. I just can't imagine...
Doing that to a co-parent. Yeah.
Yeah, well, just being like... Even if you're like, I don't want to, but especially if all of our friends were watching, it'd be like, fine, you can, yeah, say hi to your daughter. It's still his, and it's not like his daughter's 18, you know, she's like 3. It's so crazy, these two. Yeah. They're little games.
I love it. So Jesse's like, I just want to explain why I said you were an escort. And then he doesn't explain. He goes, are you happy?
Says that and he's like, and then this confessional, he's like, look, it was a moment of weakness. Yes. Calling his wife a sex worker was a moment of weakness for the man.
He's like, and he's like, and I didn't believe it, but he doesn't say any of this to her. He's like, I want to explain. I don't think you're happy.
But then, oh, Michelle's got a rebuttal.
Yep, she's like, I am happy besides you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesse's like, can you not be happy with my relationship? And Michelle's like, I'm not happy with who you're with. Sorry. And then we flash back to Lacey Nicole, Jesse's fake girlfriend, threatening all her future coworkers with cease and desist before she's supposed to appear on the show. And then she's not on the
show. She's not on the show. She's just the ghost haunting the show. But it's also this one. So she, okay, then also like her, I'm not an escort rebuttal too, is her holding up Venmo to Jesse, and she's like, if I'm an escort then you're like a gay prostitute. Why did this friend who is gay give you money on Venmo?
Michelle says, look at you, you're a disaster. And Jesse says, and you're a hooker, so that's fine.
And I mean, gay hooker.
Mammoth could never. Okay.
Oh my God. Not with his stupid daughter Zosha hanging around.
She's what's holding him back. She's not holding his politics. Him back. Michelle's like, you can't do that. I'm the mother of your child. You're a loser. You spent all our money. And she goes, and speaking of which, let me pull up this Venmo.
You know what?
On my phone.
This is Aaron Sorkin writing, like, the Facebook movie. This is the Social Network when everyone's like, look how bad Mark Zuckerberg is. He's a sociopath. And now we're sitting here and he's having to confront all of these people suing him for being an absolute sociopath, including his best friend who fucked him over.
And Rashida Jones, his lawyer, doesn't feel sorry for him.
No, and he doesn't feel a thing.
Kristen is his Rashida Jones. Yeah. Is Jesse's lawyer now. Yeah. That's what she's been relegated to on the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
His unofficial lawyer because he's representing himself.
Right. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Insane.
Okay, and so then we don't get to see the Venmo, unfortunately. I have been searching on Venmo for Jesse's.
Did you see him on Watch What Happens Live talking about this? First of all, Andy hates Danny. It was Danny and Jesse on weeks ago. He hates both of them, and it was so clear. But Andy asked him, he was like, what was the Venmo for? Like, why do your friends send you Venmos? And he's like, you can send me a Venmo too to Andy. And Andy's like, huh? But he wouldn't explain how much he got from his friend, why his friend was sending him money. Like, it was kind of...
Andy only likes queer baiting if you're hot.
Right.
Well, yeah.
And I guess know. Andy
Jesse
also...
only appeals to, like, Michelle on Dramamine. Is his audience.
That's my type.
Okay, so then, yeah, she, Michelle, all, oh wait, so then Luke comes over first. Luke comes over to Jesse while Michelle's like popping off to her friends. And Luke goes, dude, what happened? And Jesse goes, I think it's going well. And Luke goes, you think it's going well?
He's like, this is good for, this is us communicating.
Luke is like, oh my gosh, give me a car engine because I do not understand.
I know, I don't understand. Yeah. What, do these two have electricity or something? I don't get it.
And then Michelle says, our friend and client sent us money for Isabella's birthday and you took it. Want to see the proof? He's broke. And why is a gay guy sending you money? And Janet goes, he doesn't get access to Michelle anymore. And Brittany's like, you need to apologize for calling her a hooker.
Right.
And then,
meanwhile, there's still people serving them, like their waiters
the
are still,
like, well, the, still.
Like, you know, like the what are those fucking the people that come
sommelier?
Into, yeah, the sommeliers are trying to explain to them about the wine, and it's just like, is Jesse a gay hooker?
Also,
I think
but
it's
the,
going
like,
well.
He doesn't even deny the.
He doesn't
like,
deny our, a thing.
He doesn't Much deny like, that he took the money for Isabella's birthday,
right?
And that's like, yeah. What I kind of like about Jesse, though, he has, it's not that he has no shame. It's like, I think that he like gets, he's kind of like Jax where he gets off on like being like, yeah,
I don't
tell me that
yeah.
I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Tell me I took the,
he's
I
like
took
Mark
the money
Zuckerberg
and I paid
right there.
For wine.
Yeah. I,
like,
I took Eduardo's money.
Yeah.
I took Eduardo's money.
He's a sicko.
He's a sicko.
He's no kink shaming, but he's
a sicko for Venmo.
And so then they go back to the Airbnb and, the chefs are cooking dinner. The chef really looks like he was in like, he's like a roadie for like a 2005 emo band. He has like the soul. I'm like, why is every man, like
a soul
whoever
patch.
Jesse, all of Jesse's like service workers are like, 6'5" men with a soul patch.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't understand the show. They never get to go to restaurants or anything. It's weird.
It's weird. But I think it's like that suburb, you know, it's like, it's,
but they're on a trip. It's like, why are they always like having to play cabin fever here? And do you notice they always have to stay in a house in these trips? Like other Bravo shows, they all get like the hotel and some of them might share a room, but they're all like cabin fevered and on this show.
I think they're really trying to get the, you know, they had like two of the greatest 4-second brawls in Bravo history on their first season. And they're like trying to get them into that space where like Mike Paxer and
flying,
Fist are flying.
Right.
Again,
yeah.
You know, and they can't do that at a restaurant.
They did though.
Excuse me.
Before.
They did that one time. No, that was at a rented house.
No, that was, no, the.
Oh, the other time was the restaurant.
That was the hotel. It was actually the hotel. Yes. They were there celebrating Jax's spray on hair.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then Danny and Janet walk into the walk-in
damn
pantry.
It Janet
damn it Janet
throw popcorn Danny, at the screen
yeah Danny like so he walks in and he's like I'm gonna catch up. We hear on like his mic
he's still mic'd
he said you guys got a head start, I'm gonna catch up with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear from
which
Janet's
is a stupid
head.
Thing to say. I mean, it's this whole thing is so dumb.
But Janet's like, he closed the pantry door while I was in the pantry.
He's chugging
and
tequila.
And then he was hunching.
And I was there just to get a snack. I wanted Easy Mac. And I had to watch this alcoholic.
But here's the thing that, like, kind of, I feel like.
Danny probably has some sort of drinking problem.
Yeah.
But
he's trying to escape. I mean, this is an epidemic in dads with kids under two. I can't even tell you how many I've learned about in the past 3 days. How many alcoholic dads with toddlers who can't handle it.
Well, I also just think it's like probably a lot of people with that many kids under the age of 3. It's a lot to deal with.
And working full time and like also
they were in small quarters in that condo.
Yeah. I think part of it might have to do with like pandemic that like a lot of them developed a drinking problem then, or like some of them are work from home. So it's like, oh, they could kind of like cover for a while and it took the edge off, you know, but this is a real epidemic, guys. We need to help out our dads.
Help out our dads.
3 under 3.
Who call themselves daddy when they're drunk.
Yes.
Daddy needs a drink.
We'll post a GoFundMe below.
A Venmo.
So then, a Venmo. So then Michelle and Jesse are back at it. And Michelle is like, why are you so obsessed with this girl? Which is something I want to know, too. I do think he just wants a girlfriend on the show so bad. So he has someone who has his back is kind of the vibe. Because he is like at the bottom of the food chain right now, I feel like, in terms of the valley. And then Michelle also says something that I think is correct, too, where she says, I don't think Jesse is happy I moved on quickly. I think he positioned himself with this girlfriend where it's like, and we're really happy, too. Ah! So he doesn't seem like such a loser on the show.
Right.
But actually, him as a loser is the only way he's likable.
Exactly.
So it kind of worked out for him.
Yeah. And I'm happy for him.
I mean, he still sucks, but like he's less disgusting. He's less of a disgusting monster when he has no power,
less of a disgusting monster when he's a gay hooker.
When he's a gay hooker. Like, he's such a loser right now, you know? And then Jesse's like, why do you care so much? Like, the implication being, is it because you're still in love with
me? You're still in love with me. You still have feelings for me.
Michelle's like,
I hate you. They only talk about each other.
They only talk about each other.
I cannot tell you Michelle's boyfriend's name, except the only thing I know is his crazy eyes.
He looks like the fifth Culkin, who was made with like the leftover Culkin.
But why are his eyes like, they scare me.
Yeah. So then also Michelle tells us something disturbing, which is Isabella is telling Michelle that this girlfriend of Jesse's is saying, I'm your second mommy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get this woman on the show right now.
Yes, because that is deranged behavior.
By some, like, she's tried so hard to be on TV at this point.
She wants it so bad. She just has to stop being litigious. Bravo won't play that anymore. Yeah. So then, Michelle says, look at you. You're a child. You're a child. And then she's like, I came here to check on you, but I'll tell everyone. My husband refused to hug me and kiss me and tell me I'm pretty. My husband spent all of our money.
And there's people sitting outside on a bench enjoying the – it is like a beautiful view. Like, it's a beautiful house. It's a beautiful day. It really is like overlooking the Pacific Ocean. Like, they're on a cliff. Like, it's gorgeous. And they're just like hanging out, talking – you know, I think it was like Zach and – is it Jasmine? I can't remember. Everyone's like hanging out outside and you just hear – Michelle on the balcony of Jesse's in his room being like, my husband spent all of our money and he never told me I was pretty. And everyone's like, oh my God.
And then Jesse just like ice cold is like, did you or did you not cheat on me? And Michelle throws a drink in his face.
Yeah. And then she's like, do you want me to tell this whole house how much I hate you? And he's like, yes.
And then she does. Like, actually, that's the only way I can get hard.
So. Yeah. And then he just stands on the stairs watching her destroy him.
Yes.
And everybody listening, and he does nothing.
Yes. Oh, because he is fully
erect. He's fully erect. He's standing still, if you know what I mean. His penis is hard. And Michelle's probably, she's aroused. This isn't the first time this has happened.
Yeah, this is honestly the Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
Liz and Dick.
Yeah.
I mean, Shakespeare could never.
Shakespeare wishes.
Right. A line as good as, hey, everybody, my husband refused to hug me or kiss me.
He didn't hug me and he spent all of our money and he's broke.
Oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Cheated on me. I know it. And that's all he says.
So then for some reason, instead of exploring having the rich textual analysis get after a scene.
Everyone
like
should
this.
Be discussing this. Yes, Jesse's broke. He didn't give Michelle any emotional or physical like support. He doesn't seem to care. He's a gay escort. What did you do with Isabella's money? Michelle, why are you still going to check on this man if he's done so many awful, heinous things? Are you getting therapy for that? You need to remove yourself from the situation.
Why is Lacey saying she's the second mommy? Like,
because Janet has to rear her, damn it, Janet head, and ruin what could have been a very rich storyline.
Yes.
In fact, it is a rich storyline in many subreddits.
Yes. It's the best. But also, I think what's happening here is very interesting. And this is where I'll get into my Jux theory. Mm. So, just to get into the recap of what happens. Danny is not at dinner. He's like, Naya's like, sorry, he just passed out. He's tired from working and driving.
Yeah, we all just go to dinner like nothing's happened.
Yes, we just don't, you know.
This wasn't even airing of dirty laundry. This was like a like from top to bottom, like dismantling your marriage and a person.
Yes.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Instead, we get into the nitty gritty of that millisecond scene we don't even have footage of beyond the mic, where and Danny, and also we get into something that happened in October, Halloween of last year. It's now August when we're filming, and we talk again about how Jasmine, you know, got called daddy, and then her
or Danny called himself daddy, and he did grope her, which is very fucked up.
He did grope her, yeah. He grabbed her fiance's, but thinking it was Michelle's butt.
Yeah, and what, like, is that what Jasmine does say about this, it is legitimate. And she's saying that a lot of people she feels like don't value or respect lesbian relationships, like
they would.
And I can fully believe and see that.
Oh, I watched with my sister and her wife, and they're like, we totally like that. That is like cool that she's talking about it, but clearly she's so pissed that this didn't happen on camera, because she's like, this is my storyline.
Yes, and it's
camera.
A big one, and it's yeah. He should be like dragged for that shit.
Yes,
he fucked up.
But the problem is, like, they shouldn't have done the sit down with just him and then, like, not really gotten into it.
Right.
Because it's like, we already have the footage. We've kind of wrapped up that storyline, unfortunately.
Yeah. Sorry, sweetie.
So narratively, like, this is getting repetitive, you know. But here's the thing about Janet. I really figured her out now. She's a lot like Kyle, where it's like she doesn't, well, except for Kyle, like, really wants to be liked by the audience still.
Yeah.
I don't think Janet really cares about being liked. Janet wants to be, she wants to have control of the storyline.
Yep.
And she wants to have power within the group. I mean, it's kind of really impressive how much social currency, how well insulated she is, how she's still like everyone's number one. No one really comes at her, like, other than like Kristen, no one's targeting her. People do whatever she says, and she's the closest friend to Brittany, closest to Michelle, closest to like so many of them, even though the audience hates her. Anyway, so it is like, she is interesting to me in that, like, it's just so bizarre. I've never seen something like this where it's like, oh, she really doesn't care that all the fans hate her. All she cares about is she is like the most powerful person in this group.
Right. But she can't even bring us interesting storylines.
She's not interested in that. She's interested in the power and the control.
Mm-hmm.
That's like very pathological. I'm sorry. Like, as unlikable as she is, that's someone I want to see more of. And also, when she gets taken down, it's going to be so like finger looking good, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyways, I think that it's like kind of with Brittany, I kind of get where her anger is coming from. It's projected as always, like, this bitch needs therapy so bad, but like, where it's like, the big betrayal by Jax was that he tried to make her look like the problem in their relationship in front of America. So then he could leave her, you know, that's like the biggest betrayal. Whereas Nia and Danny, they have each other's backs. They're not going to make each other look like shit on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I would want in a relationship. Do I want it in my reality TV? Not necessarily. But it's like, that's healthy, I think, to protect your partner on camera, to protect your kids from your partner looking like shit on camera. Like, to kind of, and then also, I kind of like that when we see that glimpses of their relationship where it's like, oh, it's so clear Nia's the one in charge, and she kind of like doms Danny. I kind of like, that's kind of the relationship with like all of the couples on the Valley. It's like the mm-hmm. woman's in charge, and she like, the, you know, dominates the shit out of the men. And I honestly think that Jax and Brittany, they could have made it if Jax could have just accepted that that's what he wants and likes. He likes to be domed by Brittany.
He wants to be dominated. Yeah. He needs a Carmela Soprano.
Yes, but he can't, you know, he just struggles with it too much and, like, you know, gets too caught up in the drugs and his ego and the fame and deserving more, and he hates himself too
He's
much.
He's done, it's like, really awful things.
If he could have just accepted it, I feel like they could have, you know, been functional.
Yeah.
But anyway, I kind of see where Brittany's coming from. The way she's acting is, you know, not defensible, but I understand it. I kind of understand from Jasmine, because she's like, I need a storyline, or mm-hmm. they are going to kick me off and bring Sheena on.
Oh, my God.
Janet. And then Janet, I understand, because she's a stone cold psychopath. So then that pretty much wraps up the last, the end of the episode. And we start the next episode in the same room where, you know, they're like, just admit it, just admit it. And he was like, you want me to admit my husband's drunk? He is drunk. Like, I'm sorry I didn't say that he was drunk and went to sleep. He was also tired.
And everybody already knew that he was drunk. Why did she have to say, like, oh, my husband got too drunk and he's passed out? Why did she have to even, I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know.
It's like, you guys can, it's not her job to dog him. Like, you guys, it's okay. She's not being a bad reality TV show participant by, like, protecting her husband, I don't think. So then Danny walks in. God, what a nightmare. Like, waking up, like,
he just woke up to screaming people.
He's like,
and his wife is crying.
And being like, yes, he's drunk. And he's like, what? I'm not drunk.
He's like, what happened?
Did I miss dinner?
And Janet was like, I saw you in the pantry, you alcoholic.
And he's like, I think I need an energy drink.
And then he's like, everyone thinks that you're drunk and they're mad at me and they're destroying our marriage.
And he's like,
imagine waking up like hungover at like, yes. 9 p.m. And yes. He's
literally like, what on earth is going on? And she's like, two things can be true. You were drunk and you were tired and both were happening at the same time. And he's like, what the fuck? I need a fucking Red Bull. Or he would if he cursed. They're too Christian for that. And then here we do get to an interesting part where he's like, wait, drunk? I wasn't drunk. I drink the same as everyone else. And it's like, maybe they have a point. Because he does drink a little more than everyone else. So then back at dinner, it's just Kristen, Luke,
yeah, she's
and Jesse.
Like, and the chef.
And Luke says he ate 10 ice creams because everybody left before dessert.
Yeah, and then Jesse's like, it was delicious. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think this went well. I think it's going well.
I think it's going well. And so then Nia is really hurt because she's like, I just would never wait till Brittany walked off camera to talk bad about her. So then the next morning, Luke brings hungover Kristen coffee and watermelon. She's going to have diarrhea. And then everybody packs up and leave. And then back in L.A., we meet a certain friend of Michelle for the first time, named none other than Sheena Shea. Nay Jenkin.
Oh, my God. The jump scare when you see Sheena introduced as, like, you see it on the
friend
screen.
Friend of
Michelle's.
Crazy. It's a whole new world we're living in.
How did we get there? Yeah, Sheena's hiking with a friend.
Yeah, she does look healthier, I think.
Oh, I love Sheena.
After her anxiety crisis last season of VPR, her OCD. And Michelle says, Sheena's a really good person. And I said, so true, bestie. Sheena's a really good person. And Michelle is just like talking about, Jesse calls me names, no man should say to a woman. And she's saying, I mean, this is kind of, I think, a bullshit storyline. Aaron is saying he doesn't want to be with me if Jesse's going to be in the picture, which I think maybe, like, he doesn't want to be with her if she's it's all happening on reality TV. That is, like, a little much, but he's not, like, that's just not true, I think. That's just actually not true, Ellen. Also, I think Aaron wants to be on TV. Look at his eyes.
Yeah, and why does he sell honey at Runyon?
Exactly. And he's an actor, you know. Let's be real.
The man wants the screen time.
He's definitely probably, they have a healthier thing going than Jesse and Lacey Nicole, but it's not so different.
Right.
So then Jesse's marriage coach with the soul patch is back. and now it's so funny that he kept the marriage coach, but now he just works on his marriage to himself.
They're just friends who talk about the marriage that he is getting out of.
Yeah. And basically it's like Jesse just needs people to film with to remind the audience that Michelle did cheat on him.
Yeah.
So
he won't stop talking about it.
He will not stop talking about it. He's like, actually, marriage coach, Michelle, she admitted to kissing someone else while we were married. And the marriage coach is like, okay, yeah. Well, yeah. Can you stop being such a self-important dick? Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's,
and he's like, I think this is going well.
I think this is going well. Yeah, in one ear, out the other.
You're hearing me.
You're hearing me.
You're really listening. Thank you.
Luke and Kristen bought an extremely valley-looking house. It has a pool.
Oh, they're renting it. He says that they're renting it because they don't know where they end up.
Oh, gotcha. So then Jasmine comes over and she says she feels bad about fighting with Nia. And Luke and Kristen are very like, this is like such a stupid fight.
Yeah, Kristen is the only pro here who's like, we really need to stop talking about this.
Yes. And she's like, if it's going to happen, do it face to face. The behind the back is not compelling.
It's bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I've literally been slapped in the face on TV. So this is boring. This is child's play.
This sucks. Yeah. And then I think clearly what Jasmine is really upset about is that the Danny thing happened off camera and Nia isn't helping making it more of a storyline. She didn't help set that up for her, which I do think maybe she's got a point there, but it's just a little too inside baseball.
Yeah.
For you to, it's like, you got to let it go at this point, you know? Luke goes ring chopping with Danny and Kyle Chan, extremely cursed to see.
Oh God, Kyle Chan. This guy's everywhere. You don't want to be.
Yes. He's the opposite of Discover Card. And then, Jesse is ordering Isabella, chicken, broccoli, and French fries from the Chateau Marmont.
Yeah.
Ordering takeout from Chateau Marmont
is so fucked up. Yeah, he's like, do you want the chicken tenders from Chateau?
It's so bizarre.
Yes, Daddy.
Yes, it's like getting, like, Michael Scott getting takeout from Hooters. It's like,
What are we doing here?
What are we doing? And then Michelle drops off Isabella's key because she forgot it. And, like, on the scene, I was like, I kind of think they're good co-parents. Is that crazy?
Oh, my God. They're so cute.
I kind of think that, like, they save, like, it all for the screen, but most of the time, like, when they're together with Isabel.
When she lets Jesse say hi to their daughter, it's like, these two belong together.
No, I don't know. Maybe it's, like, a denial just because it's so tough for me to see some kids on reality. Like, Carlos,
their kid is also, like, so well-spoken. So sweet. Yes,
like, so sweet. And, like, I think really able to manipulate them in a way where it's kind of like Carmen Baldwin where I'm like, she's in control. So
she's in control here. Yeah. She's charcoaling both of their mouths.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then Chef Gino is cooking at Brittany's for the girls. They're having a girls' dinner. The Zach erasure once more. I don't like the just girls' dinners. It feels like icing them out. It's a really awkward dinner. The Valley's doing a lot of things where it's like showing the opening of scenes where people are sitting in silence awkwardly. Yeah.
Why aren't they? I still don't know why they're not going to restaurants and stuff. I don't know why we have to keep hiring these chefs.
I don't know.
Notice they're doing that on the Mormon Wives too. They don't get to go to any restaurants. They don't go anywhere on that show. It's weird.
I think it's cheaper. It's cheaper and easier. You don't have to secure locations. Like, especially with the Mormon Wives, there's like 30 of them.
That's true. Like, but we get so many iconic things, like The Quiet Woman. We still talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, Bravo, like they're down
Bravo,
bad.
Bravo, this, fucking Bravo.
Once this Leah lawsuit ends, which like it's gone on for so long, only the first ruling has come out, like then I think we can go back to the clubs, the bars, the, you know, restaurants.
Yeah, this feels like quarantine.
This is very quarantine. Yeah. So then the girls all apologize to Nia, which is good.
She has she's had a very traumatic upbringing and stuff, and she tells everyone about she grew up homeless and like with her mom they like slept on people's couches, they would dig
they
through trash cans
in people's backyards. Yeah, so probably that was traumatic.
Trash
when Danny
cans to try to sell like, you know, cans and stuff for money. Like,
okay, wait, let me do my joke though. They pitched tents in people's backyards, which that was probably triggering when Danny pitched a tent in Jasmine's girlfriend's backyard for her. But it's very like it actually reminds me a lot of like Chriselle, where she came from like a similar upbringing too, and it just you got to realize the meta aspect of the show where it's like, oh, being that vulnerable, that really endears us to you. You know, that the audience and like as a human person.
Yeah, that's
that you didn't know that about your friend. It's like you've got to kind of let down
and you're
the
still
like,
attacking
metagame
her
for a
it's
minute
like,
and just
it's like
let
she's
that
been
in.
Through a lot of stuff. And then outside of that, she also does have three kids under the age of three in a small condo. And that's a lot to deal with.
And she's also been honest about
her postpartum depression.
Her postpartum and just that, like, they did, she and Danny did treat that incident really seriously. She was like, I'm going to let him handle it.
They've gone to therapy. Because it's his fuck up. You know, but
yeah, we're in therapy. We're in couples therapy. We're in counseling.
And then she's like, and we're both in therapy separately and yeah. we're in therapy together, which is like the healthiest response that yes. none of them can do on their own. None of them right. are like, oh, we're in therapy separately and together. That's the healthiest no. thing you can do.
Yeah, and none of it's on TV. It's healthy. And I think that's what's pissing them off. They're like, well, why don't they have a fake TV therapist so right. that we can like see it all?
Yeah,
I think that's
Dr.
what they're
Amadon
at.
Or whatever, but Bethany's therapist.
Yes, like a weird sadist, you know, like sociopath, like who wants to be on TV more than treat us. And that like, I just can't, as much as I like want, you know, reality TV, I want to see the goods. I want to see it all. I can't get mad at someone for prioritizing their marriage and their family over their reality TV.
And like
career,
their kids.
You know, and their kids. Well, yeah, their family.
They
yeah.
have a lot of kids, you know. And I think that they really love each other. I think, and they also yeah. like each other, but they yeah. clearly have a lot that's going on. And I think that yes. they're doing the best things that they can in those situations.
Yeah. And I think that what these girls don't realize is that actually you're making, like, I think that also there's some animosity that they were kind of favorites last season because they're non-problematic and they play both sides. But it's like by attacking them, you are further endearing the audience mm-hmm. to them because we love an underdog, you know? So it's like, if anything, if you just left them alone, they might have been fired for not giving enough this season. Yeah. But because you attack them, now they're fan faves. And now they will definitely come back next season. And Jasmine, I'm not so sure about you. I'm sorry.
I have like 3 minutes.
Okay. So then after pours her heart out, of course, Mariposa Kristen is like, I have no idea. And now if anyone comes for Nia, I'm going to kick their fucking ass.
Yeah. And she will.
But then... And that's exactly what happens. All the girls kind of are like, wow, that's a lot.
And then Jasmine's like, oh, my. Oh no, not Jasmine. Damn it, Janet. Here she comes.
You.
Can you imagine someone telling you that when they were a kid, they were homeless yeah. and they slept on couches? You know, it's a lot of trauma and it's a lot of shame. And I think that was really big that she admitted that on national television.
Yes. And then that's Janet like a lot for your family.
And
like,
then Janet's
you know.
Like, yeah, that's a lot. But
that's a lot. And if
I had a friend who was a drug addict, alcoholic. Does he remind you of Danny?
Yeah. She's like, if she totally had it locked and loaded. And she's like, yeah.
Didn't hear her at all.
She didn't listen. She was like, but I want to go back to the tequila swig thing that happened that I was a part of. And if you ever need to talk to someone who's dealt with a partner with drug and alcohol problems, I've got experience with that. I was like, and he was like, what the fuck? And yeah, we got released the next day and then eventually cut from the episode where Janet, it goes to her talking head where she says, actually, I used to be an Al-Anon. And Nia, you know, she, I think, has gone to Al-Anon too. So yeah. It's just crazy to me she wouldn't talk about it on
they
camera.
They cut it. So it was on the East Coast feed of that episode mm-hmm. of The Valley and then Central and West Coast, it got cut because it's Michelle such a fucked receipts. Up thing. Well, it's also you're not supposed to talk about
it's,
it because
yeah,
it's
anonymous.
It's
compromising anonymity.
That's why when you see people on TV or in interviews talking about AA, they call it a 12-step program.
Yes, yes. Because you have to protect. Yes. Yeah, that's like
the
And
the other people that are in there because also like no matter how you feel about 12-step programs and stuff, whatever, they've helped a lot of people and – people with addiction, if they don't want to be known, they should have that right.
Yeah.
Even if they're Janet's friends.
Yes. it's like, it's fine for you to out yourself as a member of Al-Anon. Like,
I know.
That's fine. You don't have
that's
to be anonymous.
That's crazy.
But
Al-Anon's especially, like, it's people whose lives have been affected by an addict. So it's very... That's like so gross, actually.
It's so
gross. The Al-Anon thing was, it's grosser than saying like Alcoholics Anonymous to me. Like,
oh, yeah. Especially
because
it's like
somebody who's dealing with, you know, loving an addict, which is difficult.
And we don't even know who the addict is that, you know, that we now know Nia went to Al-Anon for.
By the
you
way,
know? So
she
it's like,
shouldn't feel like it. Again, it's not Janet's story to tell. Nia's given us a lot, and who gives a fuck if she went to Al-Anon, and who knows why and for who, and good for her. She, again, the only person who seems to be getting real fucking help in any situation.
Yeah, exactly. And so then, yeah, Nia's like, this is like all being weaponized against me. I think I'm just going to leave. And then once she leaves, Jasmine is like, I like Kristen was like, wow, that was like really moving, right? Like that was fucking intense.
I'll kill everybody.
Like, and Nia's like, and she's like, do you like feel like you got what you need, Jasmine? And Jasmine's like, well, I liked it until Nia kind of was like making it all about her.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, guys, you've like, this is like, Janet is too reality TV brained. Like these girls have lost the plot a little bit where they're just thinking about like scenes.
We needed Stassi to come in here and do something.
We need her to charm school these.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because the thing about Stassi, she likes power and control, but she's not afraid to like get in the mess.
Oh my God. The stuff with her husband and his cousin.
Ooh, yikes.
Bad
stuff. So then,
I mean, his sister, not his cousin,
his sister, the tattoo,
even worse.
Although it's like, is that even his sister? He kind of reminds me of,
they
Rooster
met when they
Annie.
Were 35.
That's actually very common to fall in love with a relative that you haven't met your whole life. Mm. Like you confuse
and she's the Italian
thing for romance. I don't know. He's a grifter. Really? We might have to do an investigation.
Honestly. Oh no, but people are, okay, Jason cut this, but people are talking about it a lot on subreddit. Like on Reddit's, because they're just like, wait, he faked his birthday, but why? And he filed bankruptcy under a different,
I'm glad that people are catching on.
I read that Stassi made him talk about when his actual birthday was because she knew it would probably come out and she wanted to get ahead of it and just be like, oh, it was a funny joke that they celebrated him turning 40 when he was turning like 38 and he never told anybody. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then he changed also the date of his birthday, too, because he wanted it to be on St. Patrick's Day. So he just told everybody it was like the 17th of March a different year. That's what people do who are stealing identities do.
Yeah. Oof. I want to go back to.
I want to be bad.
I want to be. And it's so good. Yeah, I want to be bad and look up his court records. It's only a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Nia and Danny meet back up and she's like, well, here's what's happening. They're trying to do a whole storyline of how you're an alcoholic. And Danny's like, this is like crazy. And then Nia goes, you did a nervous laugh just then, but I don't like that. I'm like, see, I love
She calls Nia, him out on stuff.
It's like, I'm not too worried about this man because she has his balls in a vice. And that's what that's what men need. Mm-hmm. They need to be broken and owned by their wives. And mm-hmm. that is what's going on with them. And that's why Danny's going to be okay. And that's why Jax wasn't. He refused.
And that's why your marriage is going to be okay, Lauren.
And then we end the episode with Danny saying, this evening feels like the roast of Danny Bucco. Like, okay, Danny, I hope the camera's cut. And Nia said, Danny, no more comedy. Nobody likes that. This is what got us into this problem in the first place. No more Dan
roast.
Schneider jokes.
Don Rickles comes in, the ghost of Don Rickles, talks about Puerto Ricans for some reason.
Oh, God.
I've seen him live.
Oh, amazing. Well, anyway, so that's episodes 5 and 6 of The Valley. We'll see if anyone likes or watches this.
I need to
we'll
watch episode 8.
Me too. The Snake in the Grass. And then once we do get, we'll get caught up on that. We'll
get
if no
caught
one's
up,
watching, if no one's watching, we'll switch to Mormons, Bethany Ever After, something like that.
Yeah.
If no one watches this next Valley.
Yeah, we seem to have the others listening to us.
The others?
Like they
Nicole
don't,
Kidman?
Like, no, they just like the weirder shit. Not everyone else is watching.
Because it's like, why listen to us when you can, listen to your good friend Danny Pellegrino, watch what crap is.
Watch what crap is. There's a lot of really good ones.
Yeah.
Comment
below, I guess, if you have one that you want in the meantime. If you're like, oh, the boat episode of Bethany Ever After, we're dying for you guys to recap We're kind of dying. Or like some Vanderpump Villa. Oh, we could do a deep dive on Bo. So yeah, before Miami starts, if you have a little request interstitial. I know some people wanted Mormon Wives.
I'm caught up on that show.
I'm caught up too. Okay, maybe we'll just do a recap of that then.
Because that show's getting
the whole season
crazy.
Yeah.
Taylor's still having sex with Dakota, but she's talking about how emotionally feels nothing.
Yeah, dude. The front half is so crazy. Like, it's so, with the police calls and all of that. And
they're
the back half
sober, every single one of them.
I know there's no drinking on screen. I feel like they came to like a decision with the Mormon Church. Anyway, there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, that's what Jason said. Okay, he's like, they made a decision.
Yeah, maybe cut all of this and we'll just do some Mormon recapping if this episode
if that's
blocks.
What the people want.
Yeah, yeah. Because we've gotten some requests for that. All right, we love you guys. Bye, students.
Bye. Love you.
Love you.